As I get to know people, I find that many people have strange passions or strange hobbies. And you come across one of these people with a strange hobby, whatever it may be, train spotting or plane spotting or model making or Dungeons and Dragons or whatever it is, they can be very articulate about their passion. They can go on and on and on. When I say articulate, I mean, if you look at thesaurus, you see there's another word very close to articulate, boring. Have you ever come across one of these people? They have a passion and they go on and on and on about it until it gets boring. But they think it's the most exciting thing in the world and they go on. Some of them, it's a particular sport. Others, it's just a hobby that they have got and they go on. You ever come across it? And there's others who have an interesting hobby, but they don't talk much about it because they know it's slightly odd. And it's only by some strange moment that you get to find out. And they say, you sort of say, something like, you've got a lot of teapots. Yes, I collect them, but don't tell anybody. You know, they've got these passions, these interests, but they keep it slightly quiet because they don't want everybody to know that they have this slightly odd way about them. Today, we are thinking about our new text. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I wonder which of those camps we lie in when we're talking about our Christian faith. And maybe we should lie in neither. It shouldn't be the one that we do secretly. Yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, but don't tell anybody, they think I'm odd. But neither should we go on and make it boring. You may have come against these people who, even to non-Christians, they start talking about some minute part of theology that they have just discovered by the latest Facebook post from somebody that nobody has ever heard of, and they think that is the most important doctrine to the church. And they go on, and they go on. Friends, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation, but it's also the most exciting message out there. It is the one that transforms lives. You see, as J. John said, and I'm going to paraphrase him very badly, we belong to a worldwide organization called the church, called the family of Jesus Christ. We are followers of Jesus. And this family are healing the sick. They're feeding the hungry. They're putting shelters up. They're helping those in debt. They are speaking out the gospel of Jesus Christ. They founded schools. They founded hospitals. The things that have been done in Jesus' name by his church is phenomenal. Sadly, we've also done some very bad things, and they're not worth reciting here. But we need to be unashamed of the gospel of Christ. We heard the reading Vicky read to us earlier from Joshua chapter 1. I love Joshua. I love the moment of the sort of position of Joshua at the end of the life of Moses, where they had wandered, the Israelites had wandered for 40 years, and they had been going through the desert because they had rebelled. And then the sort of leadership has passed to Joshua, and it's going to be a moment of change. It's going to be a moment of change. Everything now is ready to enter the promised land. And God says to Joshua, be confident. Be bold. Have I not commanded you to be confident and to be bold? And as we come to looking at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, there are echoing in our ears about being unashamed is, this is something God has commanded us. To be confident, to be strong. As we're confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have 2,000 years of evidence of what Jesus has done and transformed lives. As we're confident in Jesus, the gospel of Jesus Christ, we could talk about what God has done in our lives. Friends, I don't know if you ever get that knock on the door and the Jehovah Witnesses are there and they've got their latest tract in a very poor font and they're there and they're talking and they want to convince you that to get to heaven, you have to do all these things. Can I tell you what the most powerful thing you can do at that moment is? Don't go into an argument over the Greek, you know, and the mistranslation of the Bible. Tell them your story. Tell them how Jesus has come into your life and transformed you. Tell them about what God is doing in your life today. Talk about your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about how God has blessed you. They can't argue with it. And you know what? The Holy Spirit can take hold of your words and can start to do something in their lives. And when you finish telling their story, offer to pray for them. They'll never knock on your door again, I'll tell you this. But offer to pray for them. Don't be ashamed of what we stand for. Stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tell your story. Pray for people because you do not know what God is going to do with that moment. We are holy people, loved and saved by God. And God has invested in us his Holy Spirit. Do you know God's in you? Do you know God's actually in you? When you invited Jesus to come into your life, it wasn't just a metaphorical thing. God moved in by his Holy Spirit and he wants to use you. He wants to minister to you. He wants to bless you. He wants to heal you. He wants to save you. And so he dwells within you. One child in the Sunday school class, when challenged with this message, turned to the Sunday school teacher and said, God's enormous. And the Sunday school teacher, yeah, he is. And God's in me. Yes, he is. Well, shouldn't he show? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we were talking about this at a crossover service on New Year's Eve, just gone, I said the challenge is this, to not be ashamed, is to stand tall with Christ. Stand tall. When the rest of the world is bowing their knees to all kinds of God, we stand, we raise our arms, and we say, we believe in the one holy God and his Son who died for us, who died for the world. So our challenge is to stand tall with Christ. Our second challenge is to identify with his followers. To identify with the followers of Jesus Christ. I belong to the church of Jesus Christ. Let me just take a digression for a moment and just say, if we belong to Jesus' family, and we believe this is a family of God, every time you criticize God's family, whether it's the Anglican Church, the Pentecostal Church, the Baptist Church, whatever, you are grieving God. You're criticizing God's creation. Now, let me be clear. No church is perfect. No pastors are perfect. No ministers are perfect. We're all broken people. And we're all on a journey to be restored. But let's not spend our lives criticizing the family of God, because we grieve God. But instead, unashamedly, let's identify with the church of Jesus Christ and let's stand tall and be part of it. So we stand tall with Christ, we identify with the followers of Christ, and thirdly, we said, to speak about him with boldness. To speak about Jesus with boldness. When we have hobbies, as we said earlier, we speak about those hobbies, however boring they get. We speak about all those passions we have. We speak about our football teams and our rugby teams and our nation. We speak about our favorite TV program. So let's talk about Jesus just as much. Let me be clear, it's nothing wrong with speaking about these things. We're human beings, we're diverse people. And yes, we have our interests, and there's nothing wrong with those interests mainly. But let's put Christ up there. Let's put Christ up there. And let's be bold and courageous. I've mentioned Joshua chapter 1. There's other texts we could mention pertinent to this text. 2 Timothy 1 verses 8 to 9 says this. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, its prisoner. Rather, join with me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. Paul, writing to Timothy, is encouraging the young Timothy, the young pastor, not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord or about Paul being in prison. And he goes on in verse 9 to say, he has saved us. This is what we're not ashamed of. Christ has saved us and has called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Friends, not one of us here can stand tall and say, I am saved because of anything we have done other than accepting the message. We can only stand here and say we are saved, we are forgiven because of what God has done in Jesus. Yeah? And so when we say we are not ashamed or we are proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're not saying about us. We're saying about what Jesus has done. And if you look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul, the writer of the Romans, says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why? Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. I don't know what you want to do with your prayer life this year. What do you want to do with your prayer life? Where do you want to see yourself going spiritually? Where do you want to see yourself growing as a follower of Jesus. Let me give you a challenge from this verse. If we believe it's the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, let's start praying for the non-believers. Let's start doubling down our prayers for the non-believers, that they will believe and they will receive salvation. And our part is not to be ashamed, not to be apologetic. We do not have to apologize for what we believe. We don't have to apologize in the marketplace when we state clearly that we are saved by the blood of Christ. We don't have to apologize for that. We do not have to apologize when we say boldly, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Let's not apologize for that, because that is the truth and that is the power of salvation. Let's not be ashamed of this message, but let's stand for it. You see, where we feel shame, it's often we feel shame about the way we live. We don't feel we have lived up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. In the terms of last year's text, we do not feel that we are worthy of what God has done for us. We're not worthy. Now, let me just say two things about not being worthy. Firstly, it's a lie. Why is it a lie? You are worthy not because of what you've done, but what Christ has done for you. Don't let the enemy's words in your ear spend your life saying you are not worthy of Jesus, because you are. You are worthy. Using the football metaphor, there may be many players who are not worthy of playing for their club. So what do? They train harder. They train harder. They try to improve their skills. They try to get back into the first team. We may feel we're not worthy of the gospel of Christ. We don't have to train in that way. We just need to say, Lord, more of you in my life. More of you. More of you. I want to say, as we begin 2026, and think about this text, we don't want to be ashamed. We don't want to be ashamed of ourselves. And so, I invite you to invite God into your life in new ways this year. I invite you to say to God, more of you in my life. I invite you to say to God, I want to be worthy of the gospel. Recognizing, as the second part of Romans 1:16 says, for it is the power of God that brings salvation. And I invite you to invite God to move in power, that we can stand and we can declare God is sovereign over all. That we can stand and we can declare he is worthy. He is worthy. Unashamed. It's a challenge for 2026 for each one of us. But that challenge begins when we let God totally have his way.